there's one more aspect of this spiritual battle that we need to talk about today. It's often the most underused resource that God has made available to us. And I can think of times in my life when that has been true. Fortunately, in his mercy, God has provided us everything that we need to fight that battle. He's given us his armor, and we talked about that his armor enables us to be ready for battle, to live pure and holy lives, to be secure in the gospel, to resist the flaming arrows of the evil one through faith in the promises of God. And we have a sure anchor of future hope and a gospel story that answers every attack of the evil one. But Paul says that if we are going to stand in this battle, that we need to acknowledge our dependence on God, that we cannot stand in our own strength, that we fight an evil enemy that is not of flesh and blood, that is not of not me or you or any other one, anyone else who is human. We are good at certain things. We're pretty good at theology. We're pretty good at understanding scripture. But even those things, if used wrongly, can cause us to have a false dependence on ourselves. And sometimes we need to come up from the depths and we need to breathe. And Paul says that prayer is the air that we breathe. Prayer releases the power of God in our life. It gives us strength to stand firm in the warfare that we face. We've looked at verses 10 through 20 and three things that we have seen over these 3 weeks. And in verses 10 through 13, Paul talks about the fact that standing requires the power of God. He says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the armor." We need the power of God in our lives to stand. Why? Because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. We wrestle a powerful enemy, and we need to have the power of God in our lives to stand. And God has given us that ability to have that power in our lives because he has given us the armor of God in verses 14 through 17. And then we come to verses 18 through 20, and we see that the third thing that we need to have, standing requires the power of God. It requires the armor of the gospel, but it also requires the presence of prayer. And we're going to see in these three short verses that a life of prayer is the means by which we are strengthened by God to stand firm in the battle. He says we need the power of God. This is what God has given us to have that power, and it is by prayer that we appropriate that power in our life. Prayer is an expression of our dependence on God. It is the means by which we are strengthened by God. And standing firm in the battle requires a life of dependence on God in prayer. And in these three short verses, we're going to see two things. In verse 18, he's going to show us the principles of this warfare prayer. He's going to give us four principles of warfare prayer, and then he's going to give us one practice of prayer, one example of what this looks like in life. So let me read for us chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. The first thing that Paul shows us here is the principle of warfare prayer. He answers four questions. Four times he uses the word all. All times, all prayer and supplication, all perseverance and all saints. He answers four questions with those four alls. He's going to tell us when to pray, what to pray, how to pray, and for whom to pray. And the first thing he says is praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means praying at all times. It means pray all the time. There are two Greek words. Pray all the time. It's a very simple concept, but it's something we have a hard time wrapping our minds around. To pray at all times, that take every opportunity that you have to pray. The New Testament teaches this concept throughout the New Testament. We see this in Luke 21:36. Says, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Acts chapter 10 talks about Cornelius, the soldier. It says, Cornelius, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, continue to pray. Pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing, because this is the will of God. Paul wrote to his young son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:3, and he said, I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Pray all the time. It's to be a lifestyle. It's to have a consciousness of God's presence in our life at all times. Whatever we see, whatever we do, our initial response to what we see is prayer. We're to be constantly in prayer because we don't know when the attacks are coming. We need to be ready for the attacks. And there will always be someone in the church who is under attack, who desperately needs the members of the body praying to God on their behalf. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we just say, why? Why has this happened? Why did a 15-year-old boy last Monday, why was he thrown off the boat into a propeller and died, and yesterday had his funeral in a very good family? Why do those things happen? Why is there stage 4 cancer discovered when everything else seems fine? Why? Paul says we need to pray at all times. We need to pray in the Spirit. Prayer, praying at all times in the Spirit. This whole passage is enveloped in the fact that we need to pray in the Spirit. All of this occurs in the Spirit. It's a common principle in Jude verse 20. Says this, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean, as our charismatic friends like to say, speaking in tongues. It doesn't mention that at all. That's never a biblical description of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means praying in harmony with the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, there are a couple verses there that help us understand this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. But the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit helps our weakness. When we don't know how to pray, when things are complicated and we don't understand what's going on, the Spirit prays for us with prayers of groaning. The Spirit knows how to pray for us. That's got to be one of the most encouraging verses that we could read. The Spirit prays according to the will of the Father. And so when we are praying and we are praying in the Spirit, what we are praying is the mind of the Spirit, that God's will be done. We're praying in perfect harmony with the mind of the Spirit and the will of God. So probably means that we won't pray things like, God, you know, make me rich, or God, I could use another car. The car is getting pretty bad. I could use a new car. Probably we will pray for virtues. We'll pray for holiness. We'll pray for faithfulness. We'll pray for love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We'll pray the fruit of the Spirit into our lives. We'll pray that the ministry will go forward. We will pray the will of God. And we'll be thankful that God's answers are wiser than our prayers. A life of prayer isn't something that we learn. It is something that should happen normally, not because we're disciplined to do it and I'm driving down the car and, okay, I got to remember to pray. That might be a good thing. But it's because we realize we can't walk through the day without the help of the Spirit. Galatians 4:6 says, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit is actually the one praying for us, the longing for the Father. You've probably heard that Abba Father was kind of a pet name for God. That's really, scholars don't really think that so much anymore. It was an Aramaic term for Father. We found that older kids also prayed that, even adult kids used the word, the Aramaic word for Father. It's a term for Father. It's a loving word, but it's a word for Father, someone who loves me and someone I can turn to, someone who cares for me. You realize when Jesus was 12 years old, the first words that we have recorded of Jesus in Luke 2:49, the first thing he said was, I must be in my Father's house. The first word of the prodigal son when he returned home was Father. The first word of the Lord's Prayer, Father. The first word of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying under such pressure that blood came out of his pores, Father, you can do all things. If it's your will, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. The first word on the cross, Father. One of the last words that Jesus said on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When life doesn't make sense, when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit cries out for us, Abba, Father. And when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying in harmony with the Spirit, the way the Spirit would pray. So during our day, when temptation stands in front of us, we pray, Father, give me strength to resist. When we have a major decision in our life or a decision for the kids or the family, we pray, Father, give me wisdom. When the kids are whining and you get upset with them, or you say something you didn't want to say to your spouse, Father, forgive me. Praying at all times comes from a relationship, a spirit of humility, a spirit of dependence on God for life. It's a natural part of the life of a believer. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than being alive without breathing. Pray at all times. What do we pray? Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer and supplication, every conceivable prayer that you can think of, pray. Philippians 6:4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. In other words, as you are praying, make request. Pray generally, pray specific, pray in your private time, pray corporately, pray in concerts of prayer, pray big requests, pray little requests. Requests are as varied in subject matter as life itself. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. How can we use this as a motivation for a better prayer life? A couple of weeks ago, and I don't think Bruce would mind me telling on him, got a call from Bruce, Bruce and Susan were in the process of decision making of what's next, and he called and said, would you and Lori mind coming over and just praying with us? And I said, great, love to do that. He said, you know, no food or anything, we just want to pray. Well, that's a little more difficult because I do like food. But I said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. So we went over, just sat and talked, and then we got down just around their coffee table, down on our knees, and we prayed, not just for what's going on in their life, but by name for some of you who are in this room, and they're praying for you and praying for the church, and just praying all kinds of prayers and requests. And I left thinking, man, we need that in our church. When just spontaneous prayer groups and people say, hey, let's call this couple and invite them. Would you come over and let's just pray? Let's pray for our church. Let's just invite two couples over. You can even have dessert. You don't have to, you can have food. Prayer and pie. What a great idea if spontaneous groups of prayer and pie were popping up all over Providence Church. Praying at all times, at all requests. I left thinking, God, may this be true in Providence. There's a story of Charles Spurgeon. E.M. Bounds writes a lot of little books on prayers. And in one of his books, he wrote a short story of Charles Spurgeon and his prayer life. And he says this, it was said of the late Charles Spurgeon that he glided from laughter to prayer with the naturalness of one who lived in both elements. With him, the habit of prayer was free and unfettered. His life was not divided into compartments, the one shut off from the other with a rigid exclusiveness that barred all intercommunication. He lived in constant fellowship with his Father in heaven. He was ever in touch with God, and thus it was as natural for him to pray as it was for him to breathe. What a fine time we've had. Let us thank God for it. He said to a friend on one occasion when out under the blue sky and wrapped in the glorious sunshine, they had enjoyed a holiday with an unfettered enthusiasm of schoolboys. Prayer sprang as spontaneously from his lips as did ordinary speech, and never was there the slightest incongruity in his approach to the divine throne straight from any scene in which he might take part. That is the attitude of prayer with regard to prayer that ought to mark every child of God. Prayer should be natural. We should pray at all times. We should pray all kinds of requests. How should we pray? Pray at all times with all prayer and supplication. To that end, to what end? To the end that we're praying all the time and we're praying all kinds of requests. Keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance. Prayer is not an obligation to pray four or five times at specific times during the day like we hear in the Muslim world. It is important to have times when we pray. But it's much more than that. For Paul, prayer is an opportunity to communicate with God and request help from him for fellow believers. Keep alert. Keep alert. It gives a sense of expectancy. There's a positive and there's a negative side of that. Luke 21:36, the context of the soon return of the Lord, we read, says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of God. That we are to pray expectantly, that we are to watch and pray of things that we can pray about. But there's also the negative. Pray expectantly, not being lazy, not minimizing the importance of prayer, not missing an opportunity to pray for others in need. In chapter 5, verse 16, he tells us to make the best use of our time because the days are evil. About 3 weeks ago, once a week, my family, the gracious people that we are, we go to my mother's house, who's 96 years old, and she makes dinner for us. And I don't miss that in any way I can. I've even rescheduled elders meetings to be able to make that Tuesday night supper meeting. So I pick up Lori's mom and brother on the way from work, and I take them over. Before that, I have to walk the dog. So I'm walking the dog, and I'm in a hurry because I know it's probably fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade biscuits that night. So I'm walking home, and the neighbor lady comes out. And we've talked before. We've invited her to church. She's never been. She comes out, and she calls to me. I notice she has a cigarette in her hand. I've never seen her smoke before, but she comes out, you know, kind of hiding the cigarette because she knows I'm a pastor of a church. So she's got it kind of cupped in her hand, you know, and she comes over and she said, just wanted to ask if you would pray for my family. So my uncle passed away, and we're very close to my uncle. Would you pray for him? And the war goes on in my mind. Fried chicken. Okay, I'm thinking, I'll be glad to pray for him. We'll pray for him and walk on. And there's a battle going in my mind. I said, pray for her now. No, I got some fried chicken waiting for me. Pray for her now. So I said, you mind if we just pray right now? And so standing out in her driveway, we prayed. And tears came to her eyes, and she said, I promise you I'm going to come to your church. And I thought, man, I could have simply just walked away and said, yeah, I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for her tonight. And I would have prayed for her. But take every advantage of every opportunity. Be expectant. Look for those opportunities to pray to God for others. In all perseverance, in a relentless pursuit of something. The dictionary says, and to persist obstinately. Soldiers always in the conflict, but there are times when the battle is more intense, and there are times when it's less intense. But Paul says, pray at all times, at all levels of the intensity of the conflict. If the soldier is to stand, he must pray. It's not a human battle, it's a spiritual battle. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. He says it's demanding, it's wrestling, it's battling with spiritual forces that are bent to destroy the church. Sometimes in our churches, we have such a misconception of Christian life. Sometimes there's little to no idea of what the life of a soldier is like under attack. There's little to no discipline. There's little to no self-denial. There's little to no counting the cost. Yet Paul says the Christian life is a warfare. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And only by prayer and more prayer and more prayer and not stopping praying will that soldier stand. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, there's a parable there of the persistent widow. who went to the judge and said, give me justice, and just kept going back to the judge and going back to the judge. And finally, the judge relented and gave her what she was asking for. And the point there is that if someone who doesn't really care anything about us will give us what we ask for if we persist, how much more will God give it to us if we persist in prayer? Be persistent in prayer. Pray always. Pray all kinds of prayer. Be persistent in prayer. And then for whom do we pray? Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All the saints. The community should engage in this kind of prayer for each other. Sometimes it's hard getting that breastplate of righteousness on, and you need help putting that on. And through prayer, we help arm each other. Paul talks about building up each other in chapter 4 through our spiritual gifts. Well, that happens not only through spiritual gifts, of exercising spiritual gifts, but it happens through prayer, praying for each other. Paul has modeled that for us in chapter 1. Verse 15, he says, for this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love toward all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. He has called us. And Paul prays for them that they may fill all in all, that as Christ fills the world, that the God would work through the church and they would be part of that. That's the offensive. That's the church being on the offense, on the offense, that we fill the world with the gospel. And because of that, he prays for them again in chapter 3. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He prays, if you are doing the work of God, there will be an attack. And I'm praying for strength for you. If you're not doing the will of God, there's probably not going to be an attack. That in itself is an attack. Praying for each other, for all the saints. We do that in crises. It's very easy when we need that. We go to God quickly. But we need to do it before the crisis hits. We need to be praying for each other regularly, all the time, all prayers, persistent in prayers, so that when the battle comes, when the battle gets intense, when the hard times come, we will be ready to stand. All the time, all kinds of prayers, alert and persevering for each other, because the battle is constant, because the attacks come without warning, because we need to be ready to stand in the heat of the battle. Then Paul gives us a practice. He gives us an example. He asks for prayer for himself. He ends the section requesting prayer for himself. You know, I think of Paul, he's got to be the guy who doesn't need the prayer. He's the apostle. He's bold. He preaches the gospel. He's been in prison. But Paul says, pray for me, because the warfare is real. What was Paul facing? He was under house arrest. He said he was in chains. He will be standing in front of Emperor Nero and all of the government officials defending himself. And for Paul, I've got to imagine that it's more than just a defense, but it's an extraordinary opportunity to preach the gospel. But it's an intimidating audience. He recognizes his need for prayer in the battle. He says to proclaim, to make known the mystery of the gospel, that God is uniting Gentiles and Jews and people of all nations together under Christ, because Christ has died and has been raised for everyone. That Christ has been made authority over all authorities. And perhaps that's the part he was having difficulty with. He was going to Nero and he was going to say, Christ is all powerful. You aren't really. But what does he pray? He prays for boldness. Twice he says that. He prays for boldness, that God would give him the courage he needs to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. As I ought to speak as ambassador of Christ, he didn't ask, pray for me so that I'll figure out what I need to do. He prayed, pray for me so I will do what I know I need to do. His statement is for prayer support, for courage to proclaim, not to figure out what he needs to do. This is Paul's greatest moment. You know, if he was an artist or an author here, we would say, this is his magnum opus. This is his masterpiece. This is the greatest opportunity for the gospel that he has. And he is in chains. It cost him a lot to be in this position. It was a great opportunity. This is what he had lived for. But the incredible irony is that Paul is fulfilling his greatest commission while suffering the humiliation of the dishonor of being in chains. You know, God's triumph looks nothing like what we might expect. God slaughtered the enemies. 2 Corinthians 12, we won't turn there because of time, but Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. Like, he asked God three times to remove that from him. We don't know what it is. Some people think it's an eye problem or physical problem or maybe even a spiritual problem. But he says, in my weakness, I am made strong. Jesus himself was not a superhero figure who defeated all of his enemies by his sheer power. Jeff read for us Isaiah 53. He was a suffering servant. God's victory in Christ should rule out any pretense in our life of our abilities or our powers. Christ himself gave himself up, taking on the brokenness of the world, dying on our behalf. And prayer was the air that he breathed in doing that. It's the air we breathe. Someone has said, life is hard and then you die. There's a lot of truth in that. The battle is being waged. In addition to the armor of God, he gives us prayer. Tells us to pray always, pray about everything, pray without giving up, pray for each other. What we put on is the armor of the gospel. What we do in those times is pray. And at Providence Church, as we move forward, we will face spiritual warfare. We have faced it already. And Paul calls us to use what God has given us to cultivate certain virtues of the gospel. And in addition, to pray in the Spirit for each other is an expression of our dependence on the Lord to receive his power to be able to stand. We do that at all times, in all ways, with all devotion and for each other. May that be a practice at Providence Church. Someone has said, if you only pray when you are in trouble, you are in trouble. May prayer become a natural habit for us of praying for each other, Providence Church. We're going to come to the table in just a moment. As we come to the table, I want us to think about the prayers of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed, "Father, if this can be taken from me, do it. You can do everything. But not my will, but your will." As he was dying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in that brokenness, in that humility, Jesus won the victory over death. May we find strength in our weakness, and may we be dependent on God. May we be people of prayer. Let's pray together.